Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking into the book of Acts. We're in chapter 8. We're in verse number 9 as we pick it up today. Those of you that are following along, you got your coffee, you got your nice cup of tea, Earl Grey, with a little maybe biscotti, and you're ready to go.
Ooh. That sounds really good.
And in verse 9, we're talking about this fellow, Simon the sorcerer. We don't think much about sorcerers today, but back then they were thought of. People went to sorcerers. They didn't have a lot of modern medicine, and so they were always looking for an answer to their ills.
Somebody was, you know, an apothecary, right? I think.
That's
when
true.
Mixing the different herbs and elements and trying to help people. And, you know, like you said, the precursor to the modern medical man, we had medicine men. And that's kind of what this guy was.
This guy, yes. And he dealt with demonic activities and powers. And so people revered him. It says, now, in verse number 9 of chapter 8 of the book of Acts, for some time there was a man whose name was Simon, had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. So amazingly, sorcery was practiced everywhere, but here it's in Samaria. Now, it probably would be looked down upon outside of Samaria,
right?
Because Samaria was looked down as a very poor place because there was intermarriage that took place there between the Jewish people and the practicing, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. The I think back in
different groups.
Yeah, the different people groups that when Israel was taken over, the Assyria and Babylon brought other people that they had taken over and intermingled and all sorts of stuff here. So they weren't true Jews, in a sense. Like you said, they were intermarried. And so Samaria did have a...
Sorcerers would have been put to death.
There
was no sorcery because you looked to God.
No, but in Samaria, it was okay because that was from the heritage of the people that had come into there. So there was this mess that had happened,
So here we find that he was looked upon. He had a high name in the area. And he himself thought a lot about himself, because in the next verse it says he boasted that he was someone great, like great, like a Muhammad Ali great.
Yeah,
he boasted about it. It certainly, in Jewish tradition, boasting really wasn't something you were looking more to be humble.
Yeah.
And here he's boasting, and people were amazed at the things he did, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention. They all gave attention. In other words, when he came in the room, they all paid attention.
Everybody's eyes were on him. They were looking at
him. What's he going to do?
Yeah, he had a good press agent.
He had a good press agent.
Himself.
And they gave him attention, and they exclaimed, this is what they said about him, this man is the divine power known as the great power. Now, he wouldn't get away with that in Israel.
No.
He wouldn't get away in Judea or in Galilee or anywhere where he wouldn't get away with it. He got away with it in Samaria. That's why people didn't like the Samaritans.
Yeah.
Because there was only one great power as far as they were concerned, that was God.
Right. You know, this is very interesting when you think about God and how he had revealed himself throughout history. And Samaria, like you said, the culture here and what had happened and where they were at the moment here, they knew about God. They knew that the Jews believed this, and you say we must worship over here, and other people say we can worship here and there, and now this guy's claiming to be the great power. And we know that there, in the kingdom of God, there's great power because God is all-powerful.
Yeah.
But in the kingdom of Satan, in the kingdom of God, there's also evil power at work, and that's what this guy was a part of.
You know, you can go through America. I'm always surprised that you can go certain places in America, and you'll have all kinds of people that deal with this kind of activity. We don't call them sorcerers anymore. We call them palm readers. We call them those kinds of things. Reading cards, doing divine things, they call it.
Yeah.
And certain parts of America, you find everywhere. And usually it's a trailer.
Yeah.
Storefront,
little storefront
little,
along the, you know, there's,
trailer.
There's some on the roads that I drive by and I see them.
Once in a while you see them. And of course, I always wonder if they had all this power, and what are they living in the trailer for?
Yeah.
Couldn't they divine a lottery number?
A little bit.
And all of a sudden have these beautiful mansions and cars, and then you'd probably get a few more people coming.
You would think that would be the way that it would go.
It doesn't work that way, does it? No. So it says in verse number 11, they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. And I think that's probably key to the phrase.
Right.
It's not really power, but it's magic. When we look at magic, it's sleight of hand. It's something there's nothing really involved in it except there's a trickery in it.
Yeah. And once again, he had built up a long-standing reputation. He had longevity there.
Yeah.
And so people had passed the word along. And once the word gets started, it's going to flow back then. And for them, this was something unique. It was different. And so there was something about this guy that drew people to him, and he capitalized on it.
Well, it's kind of like today. I guess if you go to some cities, maybe you might hear of a great magician. Obviously, when you think about the great Houdinis. And some of those Copperfields and some of these guys, they can gather a big crowd because they do amazing things.
They do.
Some of them are really amazing, but they're mostly sleight of hand and trick.
Right.
But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. So people are following this magician, but along comes someone preaching about the kingdom of God, the good news, and the power that's found in the kingdom of God. And we find men in believing that message now. It's pretty interesting.
It's exciting because we remember at the beginning of chapter 8 last week, we remember that the church was under great persecution.
Yes.
Stephen had been stoned, and the believers scattered from Jerusalem. The disciples stayed in Jerusalem, but others had scattered, and Philip was one of those that went to Samaria. So he's in Samaria, and he starts talking to them about what? The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, hey, the kingdom of God is here. Jesus Christ died, buried, rose from the dead. People started believing that message.
You know, and this is where, remember now, those of you that are Bible scholars and you've been following along and you know something about the scriptures, we're talking about Samaria now.
Yeah.
Remember? Samaria.
Right.
This is a place of heathens.
Yeah.
This is a place of sorcerers. And so a lot of times the Jewish community, they would wipe out completely. They forget about those people. They can't be saved. God doesn't want anything to do with them.
No.
Because if you marry into that group, if you leave the thing, you're not part of God's kingdom. But here, they're not only believing, but they're being baptized.
You know, it's amazing when you think, when you do your Old Testament history, you remember Jerusalem, southern kingdom, they believed in God. They had their moments, but they were pretty much believers in God. The northern kingdom and Samaria is where the northern kingdom of Israel, 10 tribes, set up the golden calf, and immediately the northern kingdom of Israel started idolatry. So they were off on the wrong foot anyways. They get captured. They get infiltrated by other nations that they're captured. And so Samaria becomes this dreaded place.
Yeah.
And even in Jesus's time, they're going, Jesus is walking through Samaria. You don't do that. You go around Samaria. If you want to go, hang out at, Galilee, you don't go through this town. But that's where Philip goes.
Yeah.
And he preaches the message, and guess what? People start getting saved. That's exciting.
Well, it's a big difference here when you see the power of the Holy Spirit working now, because in Jesus's day, these disciples, they wanted to call fire down.
Right.
Let's call fire down upon Samaria.
Let's burn
these people up. Let's destroy them.
Exactly.
And, so there was not a great love for the Samaritans.
No.
But here, God shows a great love for all people, and especially these who were rejected by the Jewish people, the Samaritans. Yeah. By sending the Spirit of God into this area so that people not only believe Philip, but they become baptized.
Yeah.
And, baptism then, you could become a proselyte by actually becoming baptized. And so here, that is a sign that they're coming into a freedom of Christ, being baptized. It is an amazing thing. And then the next verse is really shocking, that Simon himself believed and was baptized.
Yeah.
Now, how about that one?
I read that, and I'm like, that's awesome.
How can that happen?
Here's this guy who was a sorcerer.
And he's humbling himself.
He humbles himself. He believes because Philip comes, preaches, preaches the name of Jesus, something happens, and Simon's heart, you know, says, man, I'm going to believe this, and he gets baptized.
There must have been a power encounter.
Yeah.
Because we find here in the very first part of this is that people saw and were amazed by the power that this sorcerer Simon has. Yeah. And they call him the man of great power.
Right.
They call him the great power.
Yeah.
But now Philip comes and Simon must have saw a great power.
Yeah.
All of a sudden there was no more trickery, no more,
right.
I can't explain this. I'm a sorcerer. I can explain most
right.
anything.
Right.
But I can't explain this.
I can't.
This is real power.
I'm seeing what you're doing.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
But I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
And I need
happening.
To figure this out. Yeah.
So it's so powerful, this power encounter, yeah. that Simon himself believes and yeah. is baptized himself.
Yeah.
So. Now, there's a lot of things that happened many, many years ago about power encounters.
Yeah.
That's really what it takes, is
right.
a power encounter for people who believe in supernatural power,
yeah.
though it's power that is not God's power, it's demonic power. When they come in contact with the real power, the God power, then all of a sudden they can come and they can believe. And that's really what happens. This is a real power encounter, and I think we need a little more of these.
You know, yeah, I mean, Paul
today.
Talked about it. He says, you know, the kingdom of God is not about words or deeds, but it's about power.
Yeah.
And it's about believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, and it's also believing that his blood can wash away your sins, and it's also believing that the same spirit that raised him from the dead is going to raise you back to life after you pass away. So there's power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, and it's interesting because not only does he believe and baptized, but now he starts following.
Yeah. He becomes a disciple, which means follower.
There's a,
right?
lot,
yeah.
of, yeah. there's a lot of people that believe and even get baptized, but yeah. then you never see them again.
You never see them again.
Where are they?
Yeah.
They're following, but who are they following?
Yeah.
They're gone, they're still, they're called, but something happens in their life and they stop following
yeah.
Jesus. But here it says, and he followed Philip everywhere.
Wow.
I like that word, everywhere.
Everywhere.
No
yeah.
matter where he went.
He was there.
Something was so powerful that he experienced, not only in his own personal life, but in his view, in his worldview, that changed him, that he followed Philip everywhere.
Yeah.
And he was astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw.
You know, he had spent his life, at least his adult life, doing these miracles, doing these things.
But knowing that they were a sleight of hand.
Right. This magic, if you will, from
yep.
verse number 11. And now he sees Philip doing powerful things, healings, signs, miracles, whatever they were. We don't have them listed, but we do know that they were supernatural. They weren't natural hand of, you know, sleight of hand type stuff. Supernatural stuff was happening through the hands of Philip, the voice of Philip. And this guy was intrigued, and he was hanging on that, on Philip's coattail.
How interesting that someone who actually couldn't do the powerful things, but
yeah.
yet that's what he really wanted to do. So
right.
he used trickery or sorcery, he calls it.
Right.
And when he really meets the power, when he really comes in contact with it, he's this what I've been looking for.
That's it.
That's what I've wanted
yeah.
all my whole time. I wanted this power. And so he follows. And then
yeah.
verse number 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word. I love that. They never expected anybody in
They're
Samaria.
They're like, what's
to,
going on
What's
here?
Happening yep. here? Even these poor people in Samaria,
yeah.
who they have no scruples, no understandings at all. They're accepting the word of God. So they got to do something, because it's Simon that's getting saved, and everybody else getting saved. And Philip is just a deacon.
Yeah.
And so they said, well, let's send Peter.
Yeah.
Let's send Peter and John to them. Let's send these apostles.
We've got to find out if what's happening up there is true. Now, we remember
right.
the words of Jesus. Jesus says, you're going to receive power. You're going to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea,
Samaria.
So it's
yeah.
one of the called out places. So
yeah.
it's happening.
So they send Peter and John. And in verse 15, when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. So they're saved, they're baptized in water,
right?
But they haven't received the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, it says, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Man, that's just a great, you know, reminder to us that
how much we need
the much we need the Spirit of God within us. We can be born of the Spirit, we can be saved, you know, born again. But here, there's another element to our walk with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord, and that is the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit filling us to overflowing. So it's something that Peter said in Acts 2, is for you, your children, for many that are far off, for all whom the Lord our God shall call. So not just for people in Jerusalem, but for all of us.
And then in 15, it says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. So, you know, Simon, he's a sorcerer. He sees things happening. He sees the power working through Philip. And now when John and Peter come, he sees the Holy Spirit falling upon these who have been saved. Yeah. And he sees something happen. Now, it doesn't say in this particular scripture what happens, but there are three other areas in the book of Acts that actually say that when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak in another tongue. Right. And so most people think that because he saw them actually speaking in another tongue, it was so unusual and so amazing to Simon, he wants to buy this.
Yes. Because
that's going back to the old life of a sorcerer.
Teach me the trickery.
I got to buy this.
You know, somehow when you touch them, something happened to them. What'd you do?
Yeah.
So teach me that trickery.
Yeah. And
that's
give me also this ability,
right?
That everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I think God likes that. I think he'd like to give him that, but he's not going to do it for money.
No. This is such an interesting passage of Scripture, and sometimes it's hard to kind of, you know, get it all together, because you're wondering, hey, he was following. He believed. He got baptized.
Yeah.
You know, how come he went back here? And, you know,
sometimes there's
stuff that, you know, we still need to work on. Even though you get saved,
there's a process.
Yeah, there's a process.
There's a process in life, and we all go through it.
But don't mess with Peter, though.
Yeah. So Peter says, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. No, see, that's, I think, a lot of people. That's one of the challenges for rich people, is they think they can buy whatever they need with money, and you can't. The good things in life are free, and the good things in life are joy, peace, love, long-suffering, all the wonderful things of the Holy Spirit, and you can't buy that. That comes simply by a work of grace in your life, so we want to thank God for that. We hope that you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. We hope that you are able to see great things happening with God. We hope that you don't hold on to all your money and just hold on to it and grab it with a fist and not let it go. But we hope that you have the will and the love to give and to be blessed.
Amen.
This is Pastor Adam, Pastor Reed. God bless you. Have a great night.